Hey, what's up, guys? It's your boy, Chef Plum. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Plum Love Foods Live. It's going to be a great show tonight with Chef Dimitri and Chef Dave talking all about the business. But before we get to it, just want to be a big shout out to you guys for checking the show out every Monday night, downloading it and listening to it live, whichever one you're doing. I really, really appreciate it. I look forward to seeing you guys soon, right on down the road. Do me a favor, give us a rate, review, or subscribe on iTunes. It does all kinds of cool things for us. Let's play some dramatic music and get on with the show.
A price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees and pray. You can say goodbye to the good old days. They're never coming back. Watch a few more days. I came to play to get my dues paid. I guess you had a dream, but it can't be saved.
Happy Monday, everybody. What's going on? It's Monday night. It's April. I think it's the 26th. That's not right. No, 23rd. This is why I'm terrible at things. There's just things in life I'm just not good at it. For some reason, I can never remember the date. But I'll remember it tomorrow, which is weird. Like, I'll remember today's date tomorrow. April 23rd, 2018. Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live here on a Monday. As I'm sitting down here at the bar in the basement. Got myself a cocktail made. Tonight's cocktail is brought to you by Rife Juice Company. Rife Juice Company. When you want real juice with real... I don't... Fuck it. I'm making that shit up. They're also a company outside of New Haven, man. They're making great juice mixes for bar mixes and, of course, regular juices as well. They're doing a great job, man. And I'm falling in love with their product, man. I can't wait to do more stuff with it. But I'm having a margarita right now tonight. That's right. Not so much a healthy choice, but it is, by God, a delicious choice. Got a fun show tonight, you guys. Looking forward to hanging out. We got Chef Dimitri coming on and Chef Dave. Dave's a regular. We all know Dave. Becoming slowly one of my favorite new friends I've met in the past year. Dave helped me out at the Mohegan Sun event. And, of course, is working his way on moving here to the East Coast. And, of course, Dimitri. I met Dimitri at a chicken wing event when he was working with a group called Blue Smoke. Dimitri's a great, great cook, man. A super nice guy. He grew up in Russia. Just a great dude, man. So I figured it's a great point of view to bring on here and make a new friend and hopefully make a new regular on the program. I know he checks the program out on Monday nights pretty regularly, so love to have him on. That's what we do, man. Listen, we're all one big group of people, and if we all work together, then we can make a better show together. That's how I look at it. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but hey, there's music again. But I think that's what I think, man. We work together, right? We can all do things and make this program better. So, hey, also, if you have a chance, if you haven't done so yet, do me a favor. If you're looking to listen to this, if you're listening to this program via iTunes or the podcast app on your phone, do me a favor and rate and review. Please, please, throw us a rating. It does a lot of things here for us. So, please, if you get a chance to do that, it would be incredibly helpful. Might be some big changes coming. I think I'm going to leave this platform here very soon. There's too many glitches and things going on with it, and but it's time to move on. This is outdated software. So I think we're going to move on here very soon. I'm looking at some different options, and there might even be a network started with an app on your phone and all kinds of fun stuff. So I'll have more information as that comes forward. But yeah, it's time to move on from this particular software, I think. You know, sometimes there's a delay when I talk to people. It's kind of a mess. Anyway, hope you guys are doing well. Hope you're getting ready for a great week. It's going to be beautiful here in the Northeast. We're going to get some sunshine finally. Today was a beautiful day in the New York City area. I was there, which makes sense because I live there. But working in the actual city, it was beautiful. Maybe want to walk around more. But unfortunately, in New York, you can't do that because if you walk around too much, you're going to get stuck in traffic if you have some place to be. So, yeah, I had to drive home, but I had the windows down. It was great. But This past weekend, I want to talk about an event that I did, which was, honestly, I don't know what I could say. Bachelorette party, great, great group of girls. And we had a lot of fun. But it was in the Catskills of New York. And the Catskills is like a very mountainous park. It's beautiful, like waterfalls and mountains and woodsy type areas. But honestly, you guys, as I was driving there, I was worried the house I was going to go work out of, which was an Airbnb, wasn't going to have running water because it just seemed so like backwoods-ish. It was crazy. The internet at the said house, the house did have running water, by the way, but the internet there was funny because the owners of the house said you couldn't stream anything. You could check emails and do things like that, but don't stream anything because that will use up all of their internet. That's the first time I'd ever heard anything like that. I mean, you know, it's you're renting the house, dude. Sorry. I don't know. A great event, though. A lot of fun. It's funny because I think it's important when you go to do these gigs to understand what you're getting into as a private chef or as a caterer or something like that. And so I came up with a couple of things, a couple of tips I think are really important for all the years I've been doing this and traveling. And I've cooked in hundreds of different houses and smaller parties and bigger parties, but the smaller ones are always the funnest ones. So here's a few tips. Ready? And no particular order, by the way. Or one, be prepared. Don't assume that there's anything there. Pots and pans, yes, but bring salt, bring pepper, be prepared. It's so important to bring those things. Number two, as you're going there and you start to get close to the house, make note, mental note, even on your phone if you can, as to where a grocery store is, gas station, some sort of place to buy something if you need it. Because inevitably, if you forget something, you're going to have to run out. And the place that I was at, the closest store was 25 minutes away. Where, you know, some places it's right down the street or it's close by, especially in the beachy type areas and things like that. This place, 25 minutes away to get something if you needed it. Not good times. Number three, don't be afraid to throw something extra at the client if you can. This particular client, they had a sushi dish that they were in love with that the bride hadn't had since the restaurant closed. And so they told me a little bit about it. And, you know, I said, let me see what I can do. It may affect the cost a little bit. Listen, it's one of those things that's going to come back to in the end. I recreated the sushi rolls. It was a scallop roll with a little, cucumber and wasabi and, avocado. It was a delicious roll. I used local scallops. It was delicious, but you know, I didn't charge her any more for it. I just did it. Because what happens in the end, when she tips you, you kind of get it all back and it makes more sense. So don't be afraid to do something a little bit extra. Number four, all right? Again, no particular order here. But number four, things aren't always going to be as perfect as if you were in a restaurant. It's just not going to work that way. Things are going to mess up. You know, some of the equipment isn't going to be as good. Just be understanding of that. And stay in your realm, you know, don't go in there. If you don't make risotto all the time, don't go in there and present a risotto dish because you're going to fuck it up. That's just the way it goes. Stay with what you know. Stay with things you practice, things that you know how to do. I think if you don't do that, you're going to be put into a scenario where there's too many more variables that can mess up. And in these kind of situations, you don't want the variables, in my opinion. And number five, the customer's right. In the end, the customer is right. You were there to provide a service. You are there to make them happy. If she hits you with or he hits you with something last minute, do your best to make it happen. Don't be annoyed about it. Honestly, like you're getting paid well to be there doing an event. Don't be a jerk about it. Get in there, do your job, and go above and beyond. Because guess what, ladies and gentlemen? As a private chef, as a caterer, going above and beyond, that is your job. Don't be afraid to do it. Don't be afraid to do extra things. I kept their campfire going for them. I didn't have to do that, but I did it, and I got an amazing 5-star review and a great tip out of the deal. So don't be afraid to go that extra mile, because it's important, man. Honestly, it's so important. Now, for the client, right, here's a couple of tips for the client. Number one, have some room in the refrigerator for the caterer or for the chef when they get there. They'll be really appreciative of that. Number two, if your caterer tells you they're going to be there at 10 o'clock, don't be in the kitchen making breakfast at 10 o'clock, because it's a very, very short amount of time that they have to prepare stuff. I had to make brunch, had to have it ready at noon. I get to my client and they're all in the kitchen cooking food. Listen, it's not that big of a deal. You have to work around it, but just as a tip, just as I thought, this is a tip. Don't be in there. Be out of the way. Number three, Be prepared for what you're serving. What do I mean? If you're serving a plated dinner, have the plates looked after, unless you've already made arrangements to have rentals. Don't expect there to always be plates and things like that. If you're renting an Airbnb and having a party, ask the owner of the Airbnb, hey, how many plates do you have in the house? Those things are important. Last thing you want is your caterer or your private chef to be there washing dishes between courses because there's not enough plates. So it's little things like that. Number four, again, it kind of goes hand in hand with the chef's side here of the tips, because listen, the equipment isn't always going to be the best. And I'm guaranteeing if you're going into an Airbnb, you didn't walk in first things first and turn all the burners on to make sure that they worked and check the oven. Probably isn't something you did. As a private chef, it's one of the first things I do. I check to make sure everything works. Because the last thing you want to do is start putting things on the stove and realize you only have one burner. Trust me, that's happened to me. So if you think about it, ask the owner of the property you're renting if everything works. And if there's anything you need to know about, hiccups in the kitchen, stuff like that. Any kind of heads up you can give the chef ahead of time, very, very helpful. You know, when I got there, the burners at this particular place just weren't working. I had to fix them, take them apart, whatever. And finally, when it comes down to this, have fun with it. Understand it's a fun event. Like, you're having a chef there. It's going to be a lot of fun. Food should be fun. Don't be uptight about it. And trust the chef. Trust the caterer. But if there is a problem, tell them. Let them know. Give them the chance to fix it before you run to Yelp or run to review them badly. Give them a chance to fix it first. That's all I'm asking, you know. If they can't fix it, cool. You know, but you might be surprised how quickly a chef can fix something, because if they've done all the tips that I said, maybe they could run to the store and get something. Maybe they could send one of their people. You never know. Just give them the chance. That's all there is to it. And that's my five tips for each side when it comes to going to do a private chef gig or a catering. I don't know. I think it's kind of helpful. Going to be a great show tonight, guys. A round table. We haven't had one in a while. We've been focusing on guests. But tonight, we got two great guests coming on to talk round table. We're going to talk a lot about union jobs and how the pay scale and hours and how these new jobs that are for chefs are coming around now, where it seems to be where you have the chance to almost work banker's hours. Kind of crazy, right? I think so. Anyway, check it out. I'll be right back. I got Chef Dimitri. I got Chef Dave. We're going to have a great conversation. Again, if you have a chance, give us a rating on iTunes. Rate, review, subscribe, all those things. Helps us bring this show to you every week. So please help us out. Help a brother out. Come on. You can do that for me, right? Just throw a quick rating on there. It'll be awesome. All right, guys. In the meantime, stay right there. We'll be right back with Chef Dimitri and my man, Chef Dave. Be right back, guys. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live. Stay right there. I think that might be one of my favorite Stone Temple Pilots songs, and maybe it's my age. I don't know. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live. I'm your boy, Chef Plum, hanging out tonight. I got a round table, but that song right there, great song. Hey, if you haven't done so, you can also follow me on them Instagrams, at Chef_Plum. I haven't said that in a long time. Make sure you check it out there. You can follow me, see what's going on, get updates on the show. I think probably you already are if you're here listening, but you get the picture. Anyway, tonight, man, it's going to be a lot of fun. I love doing roundtable shows where we get a couple of chefs on and we just talk shop and talk business. And you guys like it, too, from the download numbers. So I think we'll have this one tonight. It should be a lot of fun. I've got Chef Dave from Michigan, from Detroit. He's going to be on tonight talking to us. But I got a new buddy, a gentleman who I met, I guess, about a year ago. He had made some amazing chicken wings. Working at a place called Blue Smoke in New York City, and these wings were just knock your socks off. And it was at the New York Best Wings Festival with Time Out Magazine that I had the pleasure and honor of judging. That I tasted these wings, and they were so good I had to go down and meet the guy that did it. And I was met by this giant smile, tall chef who was incredibly friendly and nice. And we've kind of kept up ever since. And he's doing a great job now at his job, where he's just took one of those jobs we spoke about where you kind of work banker's hours, but a great cook, a really nice guy, and happy to have him on the show to talk. Dimitri Karpunin. Dim, what's up, brother? How are you?
What's happening, man? It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, I'm happy to have you. Bro, those wings are still badass, though. I know you're not doing them anymore, but they were fucking good.
Oh, I know, man. I usually stuff in maybe like once a week or so and just I try to grab the wings. And I actually had them this past Friday with a couple of friends.
Nice. And you also went and checked out the New York Hot Sauce Expo with our friend Steve Seabury and saw some of the friends of the show there, Chris Santos and, of course, Derek Prince and Timo. Good brothers over there, right?
Yeah, it was awesome hanging out with them. They definitely take care of you. And the whole expo was awesome, man. There was probably about 120 vendors. I probably tried about 25 to 30 hot sauces. Tried the Carolina Reaper, which put me on my ass, to be honest. And
I tasted so much of those. We had to judge that category. It was fucking terrible.
Oh, yeah, that sounds fun. How much milk?
No, it really is, though. A lot. I say that's the only event in the world where it's okay that if another grown gentleman sprays whipped cream in your mouth, and it makes it okay because it's at that kind of event.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I've seen Brian doing that.
Yep. He's going to be on the show here very soon too, actually, man. But good, man. Happy you're here. Love to talk shop with you a little bit. I know you've got some experience, man. You've been around the bush a little bit, and you've cooked at some different places. So I want to definitely talk to you and get your opinion on some of these things that are going on in the world. But before we get into it, I got to bring on our other panelists tonight. This dude is about 9 feet 8 inches tall, 6'5". Wait, 7'4", 500 pounds. That's my Andre the Giant impression. I thought it was pretty good. No, I thought it was pretty good. Everybody, Chef Dave Boredom, the one and only Chef Dave Boredom. I'm having trouble with that word, Dave. What's wrong with me?
What's going on, guys?
Dave, meet Dimitri, Dim, meet Dave. So two good brothers here tonight for this conversation, man. So I think you guys will probably hit it off.
It's Sweet, yeah. What's up, Dave?
Hey, what's going on?
So Dave is up there in Detroit Rock City, and of course Dimitri is down here in New York City. It's funny because I think there's definitely, especially even 10 years ago, guys, in our business, the world of food, it was definitely geographical, man. I think that different parts of the world had different types of food. But I think really in the past 3 or 4 years, Jim, what do you think, man? I think that those lines are definitely getting blurred. You'll find great fried chicken here, or you'll find great, you know, Midwestern food here, or maybe you can even find great Southern food up in Detroit. I think those lines are being blurred a little bit now.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mix and match. I mean, you know, me coming from a barbecue place, we've done a lot of Southern food, and we've kind of drawn from everywhere, you know. And big part of it is Louisiana as well. So, yeah, you would see – I bet you would see a lot of great places that we have here in other spots. But I don't think anybody does pizza better than Brooklyn, to be honest.
I don't know, man. Look, I just went and shot an episode this past season of Restaurant Road Trip, the show that I host on TV. And we went to Frank Pepe's, and Pepe's is the reason we have pizza today, that we had no pizza. And brother, I gotta tell you, it's some pretty baller shit, man. It was awesome. I got to cook in a 120-year-old brick oven that was there from the get-go. It's pretty awesome. So it's the one thing I would argue,
it's well seasoned.
That's it. Dave, what do you think, man? I think the lines are blurred when it comes to food and where it comes from now, because you know, it almost doesn't really matter where you come from or what part of the country you're born in. You can get great. I'm sure you even have great sushi there where you live.
Yeah, pretty much like Michigan, Detroit metro area, you can get any type of food you want and it'll be done well. It's pretty much become like, I don't want it, like the next culinary pop, I kind of want to say.
Really?
So there's a lot of big things like popping up and they're doing them well. And it's just like, you know, startup shops that are becoming well known, and it's awesome. Like all different types of food, you can get Polish food, sushi, there's ramen places, so you name it, it's here,
man. And so Dim, what's interesting about what Dave does right now, Dave is actually working daytime hours in a sushi restaurant, and then at night he works in a French restaurant. So this dude's working like 90 hours a day. I don't know if it's possible, that's what he's doing. He's doing sushi in the day, French food at night. It's fucking crazy, right?
That's kind of cool. You got a great fusion there.
Right?
Yeah.
he's making salmon rolls with a fucking beurre blanc.
Foie gras.
Foie gras fucking hand rolls. What? Stop it. But I think having that is interesting, though, because it's from where you live. Like, it's such a – I mean, from you doing sushi to French food, you know, in one day is definitely a big stretch. And, you know, you've talked to me a lot about the sushi and the fish that you get there, and you do a great job with it. You said it's really good, fresh stuff, right?
Yeah, it's definitely good quality for sure. And it's kind of crazy because, like, the morning aspect of it is almost like a commercial, like, run type thing, because, like, the AM hours of that place, it's all about the deliveries and orders and getting everything set up for that. And then preparing it and, you know, getting it gone. But at night, it's a totally different beast. So it's crazy. It's like mornings are a little more mellow, but you still have like a deadline and a run. But tonight, you're just like, okay, it's time to just like do this.
Nice. Well, I think it's pretty cool. And so, Jim, it's funny because you've done, you know, you're talking about doing your stuff in a barbecue restaurant, but you've also done some Italian stuff. And now where you're at, and you did a lot of catering through the barbecue place, I'm guessing as well. But now where you're at, you're almost like, you've got one of the jobs. That's how I like to word it, man. You've got one of the jobs that we're seeing more and more of these days where, you know, it's great hours, it's great pay. You get holidays, you're not having to work weekends, but you're still getting that creativity with the food, right?
Yeah, pretty much, you know, it's a 5-day gig. Straight off Monday to Friday, so it's literally corporate hours. But the beautiful thing about it is that the menu changes every single day, and we kind of come up with a couple of things. So we get a protein, we get a fish entree, a couple of apps, daily soup. And so, you know, I get in the morning and we put the menu together, and by 11 o'clock, that's what's happening that day. And that could be a la carte orders. It could be a buffet. We could have a cocktail party afterwards or something like that. So it's still a variety of things, but it kind of helps you to work on different types of cuisine. So we could have Asian one day, Italian another, French, so on and so on.
Man, I think that's really cool. But so you're seeing more and more jobs like that. You know, that's the interesting part. Like, you just see more and more jobs popping up like that. And you being a great cook, I mean, do you feel like it's taking you, like, those kind of jobs are taking away, you know, great cooks and chefs from the actual business itself? And, you know, I mean, not to a fault, it's a great thing. I mean, listen, I don't work in a restaurant anymore because I don't want to work those hours, you know, even though I'm still somehow working my ass off. But whatever, it's in my brain, it's not that bad.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, when you first get into the restaurant industry, you want to put your head down and kind of, you know, grind it out so you get the experience. But it definitely takes away, which, like you said, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but who wants to work the long hours anymore? You kind of want to have that work-to-life balance. And, you know, with the food industry right now, it's a little hard to have that.
Well, everybody wants to have good food, even, you know, at their office and things like that. They all want to have it. And you know, in a corporate environment, I get it. But Dave, for you, doing the sushi thing, I mean, who knows what happens to you in the future. But I mean, there could be opportunities where a job like that, you know, not for you right now, but for somebody else, could become a nice paying, like, you know, 9-to-5 sort of gig, right?
Yeah, there's definitely always the chance of that. A lot of, like, chefs and cooks and every, like, buddy who's been doing it for a while are starting to consider going that route, honestly, to where you take your hours, like you said, almost like office hours, but it's a different aspect of it. So it's kind of a trade out.
Right. But you got to be good to get a job like that and be successful at it, though. That's the thing. And, like, you know, Dimitri's paid his dues. Like, he's been in the business a while now, and he's earned that. And, you know, I think that's I think it's important. Yeah, I think being able to pay your dues is good.
Oh, definitely. And that's kind of like, if you're getting those opportunities, you definitely put your work in.
Yeah, so, like, so our friend Kevin Levine from down in Myrtle Beach, he just sent a message and he goes, 130 hours a week, gotta grind, bro. Dude, there's just no way that I'd want to do that anymore. I mean, is that bad? I mean, Dim, does that make me, I've done it. I've worked hotels. I've done crazy hours, but there's just no way, man. I have 3 kids and a wife. Like, I want to see my family.
Yeah, man. No, I hear you. But, like, if you've seen Kevin's live videos, that guy is never bored. I mean, he's always having fun. He's always showing techniques. He's teaching people all these tricks and how to do things properly and whatnot. And he has music playing in his kitchen. He's having fun. So, you know, it depends on a person. You know, maybe for you and I, maybe it doesn't work anymore. But for him, that's just a way of life for him. And, hey, that's a great thing.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I love the guy. I think he's doing great stuff down there. But, you know, I think, you know, like we said, it's different for everyone. You know, I think it's totally different for everyone. And, you know, there's good and bad. And, you know, like, listen, I went and worked a 15-hour day last Saturday. That's what you do, you know. Don't want to do that all the time? No. But it doesn't mean I can't. It doesn't mean I haven't done it. So I think that we're living in a world now of culinarians, gentlemen, where it's, I don't know, where it's kind of just, I think through all these mediums, whether it's social media or whether it's even programs like this, that we're all kind of realizing that maybe we have different jobs in the industry, but we're all still the same. And we're all still that same douchebag cook who was fucking on the line, who wanted to go smoke a cigarette, and then we're like, where are we drinking tonight? Like, that's what we all were. And, you know, we just have taken different paths, but we're still in the same business.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, do I still want to get out with some friends, some of my friends from restaurants? Yeah, but man, it catches up to me. And, you know, the last thing I want to do is come home and then go back out. It's just like, I was just talking to you about half an hour ago, and I'm sitting here and drinking coffee, trying to trying to stay awake. It's ridiculous.
Well, between you and Dave, Grandpa's got to get up and go to work in the morning. Grandpa should be in bed by now. That's what it is. Well, let me ask you guys this, man. So talking about hours in the business, though, you know, whether it's a hotel or a restaurant, I mean, dude, we work insane hours. Chefs just work insane hours. But here's the thing that drives me crazy with it. It just kind of is expected, you know? It's just kind of like, oh, that's what we do in the business. And no one's ever said, you know, well, wait a minute. Why? Why does it have to be that way? I mean, can Dave, can you answer that? Like, why does it have to be that way? Why can't we work normal hours at a job and be compensated accordingly? We'll talk about the compensation. That's different. But, you know, why can't we just work normal hours? Why is it expected that we have to work 12-hour days, fucking 6 days a week?
I actually have been asking myself that lately a lot because it's like, it's seriously, like there's, I think 4 days out of the week where I'm gone. Like I'm not home for like 19 hours because I'm working or driving to work. So like I was driving, I was like, why can't I work normal hours? What the hell is going on here?
You gotta find a job like the beach you got.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Well, then what do you think, man? Like it's almost like expected of chefs now, right?
Oh yeah. Well, you know, it's when you first start out, it seems like you're almost willing to put those hours in because, you know, you want to pay your dues, you want to learn as much as you can, and then it gets to a point where, all right, well, when is this gonna end? And then, you know, when I was line cook, I kind of put in basic 8 hours, maybe 9 hours. And then if somebody called out, I would stick around and get that double shift going. But generally, the long hours kind of started hitting me more when I became a sous chef. And, you know, that was a lot harder on me than when I was a line cook. That's when, like,
well, it's because
an hour or 15 hours, right?
Yeah, but they put you on salary, right? And you're like, okay, great.
Right,
so they're gonna pay you a decent salary. You're like, okay, cool. They're gonna pay me a decent salary, and you know, I'm gonna kind of be number two here, which is great. I'm moving up the ladder, and you're thinking, you know, maybe when it's on the slower days, maybe I'll leave a little early or something like that. That's not how it works at all. On the slower days, the hourly people are leaving. Yeah, I mean, somebody calls out, you're staying because they're already paying you no matter what. And if it's slow, everyone else is gonna go home, not you, because you're the salary guy.
Exactly. Yeah.
I've been there, definitely done that, and running hotels for years back in the early 2000s and the 90s. That's all it was, man. It was just, I mean, it was amazing. I smoked cigarettes back then just so I could get a break. Because, you know, back then, it wasn't like I could say, chef, I'll take 5 minutes. He'd look at me like I had seven heads. He'd be like, you're going to do what? But if I said, chef, I want to smoke a cigarette, he'd say, all right, hurry up. Okay. So yeah, it's interesting, man. I just don't know any other job in the world where it's just so. I mean, listen, other jobs in this world have long hours. I understand that, but I just mean jobs in the world where it's so just. I don't know, not just ordinary, but expected. Like, you know, I mean, even with me, like, you know, if someone's doing a gig with me, like, I didn't tell you what time we were starting or what time we're finishing. I just said this is what the job is, and we're done when we're done. Dave,
yeah, I mean,
what do you think, man? Dim, go ahead. You say it. Like, I mean, that's all it is. You're done when you're done, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much just you go, you do the job, and you actually never know when it's going to be done because you don't know what's going to happen. And it's expected that you just roll with it the whole time. But
well, I want to see if
I
can...
Like, it's tiring.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. well, really quick, man, here, why not? We got somebody on a hold. Let's bring him on here for a second. Just a quick, I want to get his notes on this because, he's here. And of course, it's the pride and joy of Myrtle Beach himself. He's been gone for a while, but now he's back with the vengeance. The one and only Chef Kevin Levine. Chef, how are you, sir?
What is going on, gentlemen?
Fucking.
What
great
up?
To hear your voice, buddy. Great to hear your voice.
What
been
up?
Far too long, my friend. Talk a little bit about hours here and how much is just kind of expected. And you down there running your own place, I know you pretty much, you sleep 1 hour a night, then you're back on Instagram chopping mushrooms, whatever the fuck it is you're doing. and you're got some weird dance music playing, or We Are the Champions by Queen, and you're cutting tomatoes, but which is always fun to watch. But talk about the hours, man. Like it's just so expected. Why is that?
It's funny. It's, you know, I actually clock in when I get in the bed, and I clock out when I wake back up. That's my short step. On a serious side, like, I was raised, I'm listening to the show, and I agree 100% with you guys. You know, as a cook, I did my 8 hours, and, you know, even as a cook, I stuck around because I wanted to learn, and, you know, I would watch off the clock, and then, you know, I became sous chef, and, you know, I agree. You know, then the hours started, and my father taught me before he passed, I mean, you work to get to where you want to go. And we just celebrated 10 years at Scutori's.
Congratulations on that. Amazing.
Thank you. We're at 3 years on Hop Locks, and I'm still not where I want to be yet. I know that sounds crazy, but I love it. I mean, I don't look at it the hours. It's, you know, I bring in these new people, and they're like, we're talking about hours, and then they're calculating. You can see it in their head. Okay, if
right.
I work, you know, 60 hours, and he's going to pay me this. Chef, that's only this of an hour. I'm like, dude, I can't. I don't comprehend that, because I haven't thought of hourly pay in 30 years.
Yeah.
So it's like, where do you want to go?
Yeah, I mean, the second, as a chef, if you're a salaried employee as a chef, the second you start counting, trying to figure out what you make an hour, dude, you're going to be really upset. Don't do that. That's like a fucking, don't ever go down that rabbit hole. That's a mistake.
Dude, I would owe money to the company. I wouldn't get a check. I would owe them. But dude, no, it's, you know what, honestly, hours-wise, I love it. You know, Stephanie's with me every single day at the restaurant, so I knock on wood that, you know, I have my love of my life in the restaurant with me all day long, so I get to spend the day with her. When we come home, you know, we chill out for a little bit with the cats and the dogs, and then I clock back in. I get into my mode again, and I'm building boards. Right now I have 375 boards on order right now.
That's amazing, brother. So, I mean, that's really, really amazing, man.
It's crazy. I'm actually doing an order for Sam's Wholesale.
I got to get one of those myself, Kev.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Great boards. Oh, yeah. By the way, Kevin, who you met, Dim, this is Dimitri, Chef Kevin Levine. Dim's a great guy, man. You know, he's one of those guys that I think, you know, our group of friends here as chefs, as we all come together, he's a great guy, kind of fits in the mix here, and somebody that you should all be friendly with, for sure. So if you don't follow him, make sure you do
definitely.
At Food Fire Knives on Instagram, for sure.
Oh yeah, no,
well,
I do.
Kevin,
I do.
Brother, always a pleasure talking to you, man. Don't be such a stranger. God damn, I haven't heard from you forever.
Dude, I texted you like three months ago. No,
you did.
Dude, when you work these hours, the days just go by. You don't even realize it. I apologize. I'll text.
Don't worry about it. Hey, you may leave you on hold so you can keep listening, or you listen to the phone.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm standing away.
All right, I'll leave you on hold here, brother. Good to hear from you, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, great talking to you guys.
All right, there he goes. That's a guy right there who, you know, love him, hate him, doesn't really matter. He's a sweetheart of a guy. He works his ass off, but he's one of those guys that works his ass off, Dim, that you don't really hear complaining about it, do you?
No, man, he sounds happy. He loves this stuff. I mean, you know, I guess it also depends on our environment. If you have a hell of a crew and you're having fun, it's, you know, it becomes a family. So, yeah, man, he's doing good.
Yeah, he's rocking down there. And I'll tell you what, if you hear the episode, it was about a year ago I had him on here as a guest, and I was busting his balls about that damn balsamic. And I'll tell you what, he put my foot in my mouth. He made me eat my own foot because, you know, he broke it down for me. He's like, listen, Plum, I get it. You know, people make fun of me for putting that balsamic reduction on everything, but I tell you what, those people that make fun of me aren't paying my bills. The people that come to my restaurant and order it by the souffle cup are. So if that's what they want, by God, that's what I'm going to give them. And I said, you know what, brother? You can't argue that. That's a really fucking smart answer to that comment. So, you know, I mean, got to give it to him. Hey, smarter than he looks. How about that?
Don't tell him that.
Oh, no. Well, I'm sure right now, I'm sure he's going to text me middle finger in any second now. But so when it comes to this, you look at these hours, man. You look at the hours that we work. You look at these weird hours. And Kevin, I meant it in love. If you listen to the whole thing I said, it was a very positive comment. Was it not, gentlemen? It wasn't a negative comment.
Yeah,
you guys got to back me up here. All right, good.
Yeah, completely fucking...
I'm with you. Yeah.
All right, there you go. But you look at these hours, man. You look at the things that we do as far as work goes, and it's crazy. But, I mean, certain companies... I know in New York there are certain unions, right? There's certain unions for the business. I know that certain hotels have unions. And my friend, Chef Mark Vecchino, has never worked in a corporate situation. He's now the executive chef at an Omni Hotel and has to deal with unions, which is fucking... I don't understand it. But do you think that having a national union, one that we all agreed on, which, by the way, would never happen because you're not going to get a bunch of chefs together and have them agree on everything. It's not going to happen. But getting a national union sort of scenario, do you think that'd be helpful for us, or would that be more of a hindrance? Dave, what do you think?
I'm not sure, because I think it would affect competitive wage and, like, experience. So it could actually discourage some of the people that have been doing it for a while if you're all entering the same wage, things like that. But
yeah, but the one thing it would do is just I want to chime in. I need to chime in on the wage thing, man, because, yeah, you're right. You're right. But I think when you start out, though, I mean, it's hard to start this business and make a livable wage. Like, I don't care what kind of culinary degree you got or what you do. Starting this business out and making a livable wage is really difficult, which is, by the way, I might be fucking brilliant. I think that's where working all the hours comes from in our job, because when we're so young, starting off in the business, making shit money, to make more money, we try to work more hours. That just becomes the norm. So it's become what's expected as you move on. Wow, did I just figure that out?
Yeah.
Fuck, that's kind of smart.
I learned to look at it like, you know, you're working all these hours, you just don't have the time to spend the money that you've earned. So that was the positive way of looking at it for me.
I said the same thing in the past, but it's like you work, when you start off, you make such shit money, you try to work more hours to try to make more money just to make your rent, or maybe put a little money away, or be able to buy that fucking Colt 45 and that fucking, you know, bag of, you know, fucking dime bag for the weekend or for whenever you're off on Monday. But it becomes the norm. Like, we're so used to working 60 hours a week because that's what we did when we started off in the business. And then when it gets to where you've worked your ass off so much, you get to a point where you are making a decent wage, not a ton of money, but you're doing all right. You're still working 60 hours because that's what you think you're supposed to do. Maybe that's
what
it is.
You're just used to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I see Dave's point when he's saying how it would hurt wages competitively as you moved up in the business. I think it would help in the beginning, and it may hurt later on in the career. Maybe that's the way it would go. Dave, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, kind of, because when everybody enters at the same level, it'll be fine. But then it becomes, with a lot of unions, it's a timed out thing as opposed to how you're performing.
Yeah, that's a good point, man. Dim, what do you think, man? Is that you think a union would be a bad idea?
You know, I think a union would help out the smaller restaurants, maybe mom and pop places. And like you said, there's a lot of companies that kind of have sort of like a union of its own.
Right.
And you could see some of what you're saying, how it's hurting a little bit already. Because there are levels created. There are, you know, there are cooks that have been, let's say, in a single restaurant for 6-7 years that are getting paid less than a cook that's just coming in. And it's just, where's the fairness in that?
It's tough. It's tough. I think it really comes down to almost being like, you know, what type of restaurant is it you're working in? You know, I think, you know, obviously a corporate scenario like an Omni Hotel or a big hotel, you know, could probably has more of a budget to pay you, right? But maybe you're not going to hear, you won't have as much opportunity, I guess, is what I'm thinking. You'll be stuck in kind of their mold of doing things. Where working for a smaller restaurant, you get more freedom and more opportunity, I guess, to be creative and stuff. Maybe the money's not the same, but you get more opportunity. Kevin is chiming in like a champion. He's saying that if there was unions, all you would hear is, that's not my responsibility. That's a good point.
Right, exactly, yeah. But it also kind of creates that factor of not wanting to, like, getting a little too comfortable in a single place and just staying there forever. So, really, what are you going to learn? Just going to become a job that you just do. It's going to become just a, as any cubicle job, kind of, you know? And being a chef is a little bit different. You want to move around. You want to learn all these right. different cuisines and different techniques. And I think that would go away if a union would come in.
Yeah, so I think you're voting no on unions. Dave, what's your vote on the union?
I'm mixed on it because the benefits that could go along with it, but I don't know. I don't think I would be 100% for it.
I mean, because most cooks in the world, I think if you talk to them, if you said, listen, I'm going to pay you a little bit less money, but I'm going to give you health care. Most cooks, I'm totally speculating here, but I know myself when I was, you know, most cooks maybe in their early 20s or whatnot would say, yeah, no, nah, don't worry about health care. Pay me more money. Like, I think that's the way they want to go. And when you get a union in there, you start getting benefits like that, where you start getting, like, mandated vacation time and maybe benefits and things like that. But I think it might affect the wages a little bit. And a lot of young cooks coming into business need to make money. That's, I don't know, that's my two cents. I mean, I don't know if it's right or wrong, but I mean, that's my two cents on it. It's just, I think when it comes, I think it really comes into just figuring out, you know, it's about money and needing to make money. And, you know, I think if you start creating unions and union dues, it might screw things up for some people. I mean, Tim, when you were first started this business, could you afford to pay, you know, $1,000 a year in union dues?
Probably not. No way.
Yeah,
I mean, when
I'm pissed about it,
how
often would you use the benefits, you know?
Right. When I first started out, I was getting probably like a quarter of my paycheck and on a check, and then three quarters of it as cash. And even then, it would not equal out to anything, really. So.
Right. Yeah, that's a tough one, man. I think no on that for sure. But I think it comes back to now. You're finding guys, like I said before, who are talented, like you and like Dave, who are finding these positions and these jobs that, you know, that are you know, more banker type hours. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but would offer creativity and offer things like that. And I remember going to culinary school; they would have job fairs all the time, and these people would be there at these corporate places, and they would be trying really hard to recruit people coming out of school and things like that to get them in their managerial programs and all that stuff. But the one thing they didn't offer was a lot of creativity when it came to the food, which was very discouraging, you know. But I think it looks like they've probably gotten that changed and are now offering some creativity, which are attracting great cooks like yourself. I mean, what brought you to that job, Dim, going from where you were? Like, what was it that pushed you over the edge and said, yes, I'm going to change jobs?
Well, you know, this kind of fell into my lap by chance. And in the beginning, I kind of looked at it. And honestly, I thought it was one of those scam things. And I was just like, wait a second. You know, the hours, the benefits, everything just seems a little bit too good. But then they asked me to come in and do a tasting. And, you know, the tasting went really well. And
so, like, even that, like, stop right there. Even that, like, for them to ask you to do that, you know, as opposed to like, oh, we'll just hire him or whatever. Like, that shows that they're trying to do something different. That right there would have been immediately like a flag. Oh, okay, well, maybe this is legit. Continue.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So I went in and did a tasting, and it was a quick tasting. It was like 2 hours to do basically four courses for eight people. And, you know, the time flew by. I had no idea about the kitchen or anything. And then, you know, so just seeing that and talking to the chef a little bit, I found out that, you know, the menu changes every single day. And that kind of caught my interest a little bit. Because before that, it was kind of like writing on the same menu for a while. And occasionally having some specials, maybe some seasonal stuff or holiday specials. But generally, it was just like a straight up menu that maybe an item changed occasionally. So just that variety of things kind of caught my eye. It wasn't even actually the hours or the pay. It was just the fact that I could do many different things and learn from it and kind of experiment. you know.
Which is great. And budget not really being any of an issue, is it, really?
No, not really. I mean, it's so I work for a financial advisory company, and really, I mean, all their money is coming in from banking. So,
right.
Yeah, the budget, you want to get like the freshest, the best ingredients. It's very clean cuisine. You want to put out best veggies. So, you know, just kind of try to hit that higher end of things.
For them, it's an amenity for people who work there, which is something that they use as a selling point to hire probably some of the best financial people. You know, that, hey, we have this amazing cafe, this amazing dining area with, you know, chefs and real food. And, you know, which is when you're working long hours or working, you know, especially in the world we live in now where people are so much more food smart, that's very appealing. You know, that's great. That's what they want. And if they go down there and have a great meal, well, they're hooked now. And, you know, the other part of it, too, is, and I'm not asking for numbers here, man, or anything, but I'm guessing it's more money than you were making at your restaurant job, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's easily
a third of a paycheck than what.
Yeah. So you're getting more money. You're working better hours. You have weekends off. You probably have benefits of vacation time, too, right?
Yeah. And then, you know.
See, fuck, why wouldn't you take the job?
Right, exactly. But then once again, it's one of those things where, like, unless that opportunity comes to you that you just can't turn down, then it makes no sense to kind of jump around, you know? So
totally.
Like, and put your head down, grind it out, and then hopefully some luck will happen and, you know, goes from there.
I mean, Dave, is that the kind of job you would take? I mean, would you leave, like, you're working 90 hours a week because, you know, but nonetheless, like, an opportunity like that presents itself to you, would you be excited and be like, yeah, you know what, I'm going to take this? Or do you miss that? Would you miss that dinner rush, that, you know, getting ready for service at 5 o'clock sort of feeling?
I think I would miss the dinner rush for sure, but having an actual, like, life, I think would be an easy payout for it for sure.
I'm telling you what, my man, right, Dimitri, back. I'm sure Dimitri misses it too when he's sitting there at happy hour at 5:30 having a cocktail and like, oh, fuck, I missed dinner service. Shit,
dude, honestly,
I better go home to my beautiful girl and make her dinner. Maybe I'll just hang out here for happy hour. Wait, what's tomorrow? Oh, it's Saturday. What am I doing? I have to work. Huh, maybe I should take a
shit. No, but I catch myself actually, like, I've spoken to a couple of people who I used to work with, and, you know, they always ask me how everything's going, like, what I'm doing, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, you know what, honestly, the, like, one of the things that I really miss is the rush, just going in and doing that dinner and, like, having your, if you're on expo side, just having that full board of tickets and fighting through it the entire night and just getting through it, and finally you're like, man, that was an awesome night. Or you could be like, damn, that was a shit show, let's never do that ever again. So yeah, I definitely miss that, man, because right now the environment, it's so much calmer, and even if it's like a busy day, it's only, let's say, like 100 covers, and that's spread out between buffets and a la carte and all this other stuff. It's not like an 800 night.
Fuck that. That sounds awful. I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're hanging out with are you married, Dim, or are you married? Do you have a girlfriend, or what's your story? I can't remember.
I have a girlfriend we've been dating for a little over 3 years. We're working.
Is she in the business or no?
So we actually met at a restaurant. She used to be in the business.
Right.
She is a personal trainer now.
Right. You feel great about it.
She's working crazy hours also. So we kind of flipped. So I was working crazy hours before, and now she's basically working the same kind of hours.
Right, but, like, you have the opportunity, though, to be more flexible and can be around at night, which is great, and I love it. And I'm telling you, those jobs that you have right now are taking away the good cooks in the world, because why would anybody keep working some job for $35,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year when they can, you know, slaving away working 90 hours a week, where they can go work one of these jobs and get paid decent money, get vacation time, health care, have creativity? Why? Why? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Like, we all strive for the American dream. And to me, I mean, Dim, you're on the way to doing that, man. Like, you've done it. You came over here from Russia when you were 10 years old, for God's sakes. And here you are now, you know, working this cafe where you're making some of the best food you can find, and you're working great hours. I mean, I don't know what else. I mean, what else is there? Like, it's just moving up and sticking with it. Like, it's a career place, right?
Right, exactly. So, if obviously I have bigger plans in my head when it comes to work, but if those plans never happen, then I'm still going to be okay. It's a great place to work. Yeah, it's an awesome place to work.
This is the fucked up part. Now you got a buddy who learned your hours, so I know when you're available. So I'll be calling you to help me out with gigs.
There you go. So, that's a great thing. I got plenty of time. If you ever need help, I'm down for it. Yeah, let's do it.
Dave, you better hurry up and get here, man, or you're going to lose your spot. Oh, no, listen, I think that's a good part about it, man. I think that having that opportunity and hearing your story here a little bit actually could be inspirational to a lot of the young culinarians who check out this program to see that, you know, it's not always, they're not going to spend their entire career working shit hours and, you know, busting their ass. I remember working at the Jefferson Hotel. It's a five diamond, five star AAA mobile rated hotel in Virginia. Working there as an intern, and I would come in at like 6 o'clock, right? And I would watch the rush, watch the guys. I'd watch Sean Brock, by the way, if you guys don't know, that's who I worked with.
Oh, that's awesome.
Know, yeah, blasting out dinner service. And Sean would talk to me, and he was super cool, and he thought it was fucked up, but the chef kept scheduling me to work room service, right? So I had to be there till 4 a.m. working room service. Somebody had to be there. So I got to watch dinner rush. They finally eventually put me on pantry. And then I would stay the whole night and do fucking room service. And it was shit. I was so pissed about it. But it gave me the chance to, you know, work with guys like Sean Brock and things like that. But knowing that, you know, there's more to it. Because when you're there, man, and you're working those shit hours, like, everyone can tell you that, hey, there's more to this. Or, like, moving on. Or, like, you know, you're working towards a career. You're working towards something. All that is great to say. But at the moment, you don't really give a fuck. And... you know, I kind of wish there was a program like this that I could listen to back. This is, I mean, you're talking 90s, you know, late 90s here, where I could have heard something like this that would kind of reassure me and hear stories like from guys like Dimitri and guys like Dave that there's more to it. It's not always that. Like, you're not going to always be that guy. And I think those stories are great to hear. Dave, for you, you know, food has given you opportunities to do fun things. Food has always put a roof over your head, much like myself. Your future, man, what's your plans? What are you trying to do here? You're working your ass off. What's the plan?
I mean, the plan is to get out that way, but there's a couple things that might help that go a little quicker. So right now I have
Dave is really good at sushi, apparently, and there's some opportunities that might be in front of him because of that, which is random because he's like, Dave is like 7'4". I have no idea how I can even bend over to make sushi, but apparently he's really good at it.
Damn.
Yeah, I didn't even know. I was like, oh, wow. All right.
I mean, I'm 6'2", and I'm just trying to, you know, figure it out.
Well, I think the outlook for here, for this state of the plate edition of Plum Loaf Foods, I think our outlook is good. All right, I would gauge it, you know, as a good outlook, man. So just some kind of final thoughts. Dave, you think this business has a good outlook, or are we still a broken band of pirates that'll always be the Lost Boys?
I think it's a good outlook. It'll just kind of, I don't know how to explain it. Like, there's going to be good and bad with it no matter what. But
it's changing.
If you're in the kitchen and you're grinding. Yeah, it's definitely changing.
I mean, I can tell you from experience and for a fact, the business is different now than it was 20 years ago. I can tell you that from experience. I'm not proud of that, Tim, but that's the truth. It's definitely different, and that shows my age, but it's the truth. I mean, listen, all I've ever done is work in this business. All I've ever really done is a real job, is cook food and work with food my entire life, and it's changing. But I think it's changing because I have a higher expectation for food. People have a higher expectation for what they want, and people have a higher expectation for, you know, what a career in this business means. And I mean, Dim, am I off base? Or are you with me here? You think we have a good outlook?
I think it's a great outlook, man. I, you know, it's just people need to, especially like the culinary students. I mean, I know that the TV is feeding a lot of positivity about the industry, but it's not all glam, you know. You got to pay your dues. So no matter what,
right,
it's going to be a little rough in the beginning, but I think the industry is growing, and I mean, that's always great. And there's people
start early,
you know. Yeah, for sure. I didn't start till I was, you know, to almost 20, 21, 22. So I kind of like got into it professionally at that age. And that was kicking my ass a little bit.
Yeah, you come into this 21, 22, you have no idea what the fuck's happening. Like, wait a minute, this is real life? This is a job? Wait, what?
Yeah.
It's interesting, man, because it definitely is a change of pace, you know? Here, why not? Let's get one more in here. He's still on hold. Let's see if he'll answer the phone here. Kev, you still with me?
I sure am.
All right, brother, listen. The outlook here on the business, man. You hire and fire people on a daily basis at your restaurant. You see them coming in. You see the best of them. You see the worst of them down by your neck of the woods. This business, is it a positive outlook here for the next year, or are we some things we need to change, some things we need to work on?
Being straightforward, blunt, I'm scared as hell to see the future of this industry.
That's real.
We have a culinary school here, and we have these kids come in, and they want all the money in the world because they graduated from culinary school and they're chefs. And it's scary because they come in and they don't want to work, but they want to get paid. There are still people out there. I do feel it in my heart. There's people out there like the four of us, and they want to work. They want to learn. They want to grow. But in general, right now, I don't know if it's my demographics, but it's tough. It's a tough industry to hire. If you look all across the country, all restaurants are hiring because
nobody wants
to work anymore.
Yeah, well, and the market's up, and you're seeing the economy go up a little bit too. But you know, I think you're also feeling kind of what the underlying topic of tonight's show has been. I think you, as a restaurant owner, and I'm glad you're here for this, you're feeling a little bit of that, you know, some of these, you know, corporate dining sort of scenarios, these banks, these things like that, are taking away some of the, you know, true kitchen soldiers that we used to have 10 years ago. They're taking them away by paying them great money because they can afford it, giving them benefits. Yeah, they're taking them away. And you know, they're taking some of those guys. I mean, listen, any smart motherfucker in the world who runs a restaurant would hire Dim. Like, if you wouldn't, you're an idiot. You'd hire that guy. I mean, he's amazing. Like, he's a great cook. His head is in the game. He wants to be in the business. He's not afraid to work. Well, guess what? A corporate job found him that pays him great money, gives him vacation, allows him to do things. I mean, and it's hard for small restaurants to compete with that, right, Kev?
It's extremely hard. Corporate, I mean, it's funny that it's kind of funny because I actually just got someone from corporate, and he actually left corporate. He left great money. He left great hours.
He was looking for less money, more hours, and
but the opportunity to learn. And I mean, a lot of these corporate places are so structured that the creativity is not there. And if you're really in this business for the drive and dedication of what you do, and the love of the food, I'm not even going to say passion, it's the love of the food. Something like your corporate dining, yes, absolutely, because you're going to have opportunities to be creative. We're in the culinary art. We're artists. So if you're in, if you're not in a place where you don't have the ability to, you know, show your talent and your creativity, then private is, you can go now into some corporate places and do that. but corporate, but you know, small mom and pops for the most part, it's all that's what it's about. It's about the love and serving the guests. It always has been, and I'm hoping it always will be, you know?
Well, I opened the show in the monologue, opened the show talking about how even just doing the private catering gigs and things like that as a chef, you know, I gave kind of my top five tips to going to do these events. And, you know, one of the most important things is to remember our job is to make people happy. Our job yeah. is to serve great food and make the guest happy, whether it's in a private event, whether it's in your restaurant, wherever it is, our job is to make that person happy. And I think a lot of chefs forget that or don't understand that, especially coming out of culinary school. You know, right. I think what you're seeing too in these major metropolitan areas as New York City, Chicago, LA, you're seeing some of these, you know, corporate scenarios, like for instance, the one that Dim is working in, they've heard why they couldn't hire great cooks because people want that creativity. You heard Dimitri say it tonight, like his place, their menu changes every single fucking day and he can make, they're creative, they can do whatever they want, which is, in my opinion, it's great for the business because it lets those 9-to-5ers have great food, but it's also bad for the business because it's taking away a lot of great cooks because these guys are, listen, you know, someone like Dimitri, like I would hire him in a heartbeat to come and work in my restaurant because he'd be amazing at it. Someone like Dave, same thing. I'd hire him in a heartbeat to come work in my restaurant. But, you know, he's got a great gig, you know, doing the sushi thing, and he's working the French restaurant at night to learn more and make more money. It's just, I think it's changing. I think the outlook is great for the business. The outlook is positive for the business, but I think the business is changing. And I think you're going to start in the next 5 to 6 years. I'll say 4 to 6 years. Let's even be stronger. Let's call it 2 to 4 years. You're going to see the business change to the point where you're not going to have as many jobs where you're working 60 hours a week anymore because it's going to be less accepted. Because why would I work 60 hours a week at your restaurant, Kevin? And I'm just using you as an example. Don't worry. 60 hours a week at your restaurant for you know, okay money, when I can go work with Dim at his place and work a regular 40-hour-a-week job and get paid great money. Like, there's got to be a give there. I think the small restaurants and the small hotels and boutiques have to give a little and are going to have to learn to give in and try to find somebody else and not work their guys to death and pay people a little more money. I think they're going to have to figure out a way to do it, and it sucks because me as a caterer, as a private chef, listen, I pay my guys very well when they work for me, but I do it because they're good, and I don't want to lose them. You know, I don't want them to go someplace.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. They'll go. I totally agree with you. I mean, we pay.
It's going to be a change.
I mean, yeah.
You pay shit. You pay people like you pay people like 85 cents an hour. You told me. You asked me to come down and run. You wanted me to come run your grill for $4.50 an hour and a pizza. And I was like, dude, that's bullshit.
You said you were going to do it for food.
Fuck that.
Last thing I want
is a pizza with balsamic reduction all over it. Go fuck yourself.
Hey, I'll put balsamic on it for you.
That's what I just said, you fucker. I'm just kidding, man. You know I love you. Hey, look, Kev, again, I saw you're still on hold, man, so I wanted to bring you on and get your opinion because you do run a small restaurant. But love you, buddy. Great to hear your voice, and I'll talk to you soon, all right?
Love you guys, too.
All right, there you go.
Later, man.
There you go. I mean, that's just the truth. I think that's the fact of the matter. And I think that, listen, here's the fun part about doing these programs. I could do this for 4 hours. I think we could figure out the entire world's problems, gentlemen.
Well, pretty much, yeah.
I mean, as chefs, we are problem solvers. Yeah. I mean, listen, if there's an end of the world, like Walking Dead type scenario, you know the people I want on my team? I want all chefs. And do you know why I want all chefs? One, they understand anatomy. Two, they have stamina that no one else can even fucking touch, right? I mean, literally, the three of us here, we could take on 50 walkers and not even break a sweat. Am I right? Well, we might sweat, but we're not going to be tired.
Well, we also have sharp knives. Don't forget about that.
Yeah. Yeah. But we'll be good. Like, a bunch of bankers, they're gonna handle 10 or 6 of them, and then they're going to wait for us to come and finish them off. But we don't get tired. We'll fucking kill 50 walkers, 50 zombies. We'll kill them and then still have enough energy to drink beers and try to make bad things happen with the servers. See, I love the laugh. You guys both know what I'm talking about. And then all we'll do is try to put ourselves over. Yeah, but did you see when I kicked that zombie in his fucking face? That shit, that's all we'll do is try to make ourselves sound better. That's what we'll do. All right. Maybe I'm the only one. Listen, that wasn't the way it was supposed to go tonight, but listen, I think it's great, man. Love having you both on. Dimitri, you have an open door here, brother. Whenever you want to come in or talk or join in, please feel free to, all right?
Awesome. Thanks, man.
And Dave, you really fucked this whole show up. I'm done with you.
Oh,
I'm just kidding, Dave. I love Dave. Dave's the man, dude.
Right.
And check it out. You can follow Dave on Instagram at dave.boredom. And of course, our friend Dimitri himself at Food Fire Knives, which by the way is like the greatest Instagram handle ever. Food Fire Knives. Like, it's fucking dope. How'd you find that?
I don't know, man. I actually have a little quote that I kind of came up with.
Oh, and all right. Let's hear it.
So it goes, you know, we do what our parents always told us not to do is play with food, fire, and knives.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. Yeah. I like that. Well, there you go. Well, Dimitri, do me a favor. Go on the App Store on iTunes and download an app called Station Head. I'll explain to you later why, but download that shit and jump on there. It's a lot of fun, and you should download it and go on and talk to us. It's what we do some after show sometimes here on that particular app. So, but again, I appreciate you guys taking the time this evening to join me on the program. It was a great conversation. I totally enjoyed it. I don't know if you guys did, but I certainly did. So, you know, that's what matters. Maybe not. Until Kevin came on. Kevin,
for sure.
Kevin fucked the whole show up. So, I don't know. Dimitri, tell them where people can find you, man. Can they come eat in your cafe in the building, or is it private?
Oh man, that's one of the things that I kind of really hate. I am locked off, so it's really for it's for clientele and CEOs, which kind of sucks. But I had a couple of friends asking me if I would want to do like a private thing for them, and I'm kind of mulling that over also a little bit. So,
yeah. Well, there you go.
We'll see.
Well, when it comes up. Yeah, when it comes up, man, let me know for sure. Dave, how about you, man? Tell them where they can find you.
In the morning, it's Sushi Kabar, and at night, it's Red Dawn Kitchen. Downtown, it's Corktown, Detroit.
I mean, you do work a lot. We gotta hurry up and get this along.
Yeah, it's all right. I'm still going, though, man.
That's it. One of the hardest working men in the business right there, Dave Boredom. There he is. Make sure you follow him at dave.boredom. And, of course, follow Dimitri at Food Fire Knives. Gentlemen, I appreciate your time this evening, and we'll catch you guys on down the road, all right?
For sure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. You got it, guys. You got it, brother. There they go. That's our roundtable, you guys. I think we've got a pretty good outlook here. Listen, it's going to change. The business is definitely going to change, but it's not a bad change. I think it's a change that we just have to get used to a little bit. That's all it is to it. Yeah, I guess that's the best way to put it. I mean, you just have to adjust, right? It's all about adjusting. That's what we do. We get used to things. Do me a favor. Please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Some big changes coming up to the show here very soon. If you haven't done so yet, download Station Head. Big changes coming there. Remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Make sure you give it the time it deserves. Big shout out to my man, Kevin Levine. We'll see you guys soon. Thank you, gentlemen. Peace.
To pray, there's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I pray. You say.